Good afternoon, everybody. We're going to start off in Matthew 18 today, and we're going to look at verses 11 through 14. This is a scripture that we often think about in terms of the great mercy that God has and for the issues that some people have out in the world. But in Matthew 18, verses 11 through 14, we read, "How think you, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think you, if a man has 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? And if so, be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." So we see here the great mercy that God has on us and on all humankind, that he would go after the one sheep. But the question I want to pose today is, how does that sheep go astray? How did that sheep get lost in the first place? And how can we avoid being one of those sheep that gets lost? This message came from a study that I did based on something that my wife asked me to study. And I thought, oh, that's a good idea. So we're going to look today at four ways that sheep can get lost. And as we'll see, all four ways revolve around something in the sheep's nature, something that we share with sheep. And that is, namely, the way that sheep see, the vision of sheep. Hence, we could say that we, as sheep, get lost, essentially, when we look at the world through our sheep eyes. All right, let's start with three basic facts about sheep. First of all, sheep are a flock species. They generally stay with the flock. It's when they separate from the flock, or when the flock itself gets lost or goes astray, that trouble arises. And it's similar to us. As long as we're with the flock, generally speaking, we're going to be safe, unless, of course, that flock goes astray itself. All right, second fact about sheep. Sheep are prey species. So they're flock species. They're also prey species. They don't have a real way to defend themselves. Their main means of dealing with predators, with troubles, is to avoid the predators, to avoid them, or to flee or to run. They don't have sharp teeth that are going to be able to bite like a lion or anything like that. All right, they are flock species, they're prey species. Third point, sheep have extremely good peripheral vision. All right, so sheep eyes basically are on the side of their head. That means they can see 320 degrees around them, all right, which is a lot. But you know where they can't see? They can't see straight in front of them very well. So something's coming towards them, they cannot see right in front. What is straight ahead? What does this peripheral vision mean? It means that they can see all their surroundings, but they can't see what's coming ahead. And our spiritual vision oftentimes can be like that of a sheep. We can see all the troubles all around us in the world, but we can't see what's coming in front of us. We can't see the future very well. So like sheep, then, we can have a possibility of wandering away. In fact, if you look at the way sheep walk, sheep apparently wander to and fro. They don't walk in a straight line because they can't see straight in front of them very well. All right. So how do these badly seeing sheep go astray? That was our question. How does the sheep's lack of vision affect how it reacts to the world around it? What does a good sheep do to avoid trouble and to avoid going astray? Let's go to Proverbs 29, verse 18, which is a memory scripture for so many of us. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. There we read that where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. All right, so where there is no vision, we might say where there is no prophetic vision. And another translation says, that not the people perish. It also says in another translation that people cast off restraint. Okay, they break the law because they can't see out in front of them. They're not looking at the long term or what's coming toward them. So having proper vision then is key to our avoiding trouble. And our failure to see what's right in front of us is what can lead us astray. All right, so we got four ways today we're going to look at in terms of how sheep go astray because of their inability to see straight out in front of them. Four ways that sheep go astray because of their inability to see. All right, number one, fear. Fear. Sheep are very aware of their shortcomings with regard to fighting predators. So they tend to be very alert to the world around them, that 320 degrees. And since they don't see well, something on their periphery of vision can easily spook them. And since they don't really have a way to defend themselves, they're going to run at the first chance. You know, sheep also have a very keen sense of hearing. So if they hear something and they can't see it, they're going to get spooked. They're going to run away. That's their defense. Let's go to Zechariah 13. Zechariah 13 and verse 7. We will read a scripture here that is usually thought of in terms of a prophecy that Jesus Christ used when he was talking about the way that the apostles would react, or the disciples at that time would react to his being taken prisoner. Zechariah 13 and verse 7, he says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, says the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones." So, you know, we think of that in terms of Jesus Christ and the disciples. He's also here talking about Israel and the way in which, with the kings gone and without their following God, they were scattered. And indeed, they remain scattered to this day. Let's go to Jeremiah 50 and verse 17. Jeremiah 50 and verse 17. We'll read about that scattering that happened in ancient Israel. See how that is related to the way in which Israel itself got spooked by the lack of leadership, a lack of proper shepherding. Israel is a scattered sheep. Jeremiah 50 and verse 17. The lions have driven him away. Who were those lions? Well, for, you know, Assyria, Babylon, and so on. Israel was scattered. Now, for us, spiritual Israel, our lion, as we know from 1 Peter 5:8, is the devil. It's Satan. So we have an enemy on the prowl against us who can easily spook us. Jeremiah 4:7 tells us to do something that you wouldn't expect of a sheep. It tells us not to flee. It tells us to resist Satan, to resist the enemy. So our tendency is going to be to run, just as Israel ran. And why did Israel flee? Let's go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, and we're going to look at some blessings and cursings. But one of the curses and one of the reasons that they were cursed. We're going to look at verse 15, which is the beginning of the cursing section. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God," God was telling here Israel here, "to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Well, let's drop down to verse 25. Let's read one of those curses. "And the Lord shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies, and you shall go out one way against them, and you shall flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed unto all the kingdoms of the earth." You'll be scattered because you are fearful of your enemy. Drop to verse 64, same thing. "And the Lord shall scatter you among all people," told Israel, "from one end of the earth even to the other. And there shall you serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone." And why were they scattered? Well, of course, they got They received those curses because they failed to obey God. We go to Jeremiah 16. Jeremiah 16. We'll look at verses 12 and 13. Jeremiah 16, verses 12 and 13. We will see God tell them the purpose and the reason of that scattering. Verses 12 and 13 of Jeremiah 16. And you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, you walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore, I will cast you out of this land into a land that you know not, neither you nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other gods, both day and night, where I will not show you favor. So God scattered Israel for what? For their evil, for their sin. All right. Similarly, we in the church today can fall into the same camp where we grow fearful and we can be dragged into sin. Let's go to Matthew 24. And we'll look at verses 4 through 6. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 6. Jesus here says, he gives us a warning, take heed that no man deceives you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And notice here what happens. Hey, you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. Hey, you're going to grow fearful. See that you be not troubled. So he says, don't fear. Don't get scared. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Let's drop to verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. You'll be dragged into sin because of your fear. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many, and because of sin, because of iniquity, because it shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. All right, let's go to one more scripture in this regard, Matthew 16 and verse 25. Matthew 16 and verse 25, we read about how fear can be turned against us. Here he says, basically, that whoever will save his life will lose it, but whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So if we're concerned mostly about our own lives and we're fearful, we can be scattered, we can be lost like that sheep. All right, fear. Number one reason that sheep get lost, that they go astray. Number two reason that sheep can go astray, curiosity. Curiosity. All right, sheep see 320 degrees around them. Lots of neat stuff out there. Lots of neat stuff around us. Sometimes that stuff will grab our attention, just like it'll grab the sheep's attention. And it'll distract it. And the sheep will move closer to be closer to it, to see it. And then guess what? The flock moves on, and the sheep is left behind. Let's go to 119, Psalm 119 and verse 176. Psalm 119 and verse 76. Here, David talks about the law and such. It's an interesting passage or note that David has about the way in which he notes how he can go astray. I have gone astray. This is verse 176 of Psalm 119. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. He's gone astray like a lost sheep. How does he get back into the flock? Seek your servant. He asks God to seek him, for I do not forget your commandments. The commandments are key here. The commandments are what bring David back into line so that God can find him and pull him back into the flock. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 4. We'll see similar examples exist here in the New Testament about people having curiosity and being pulled away from the truth. 2 Timothy 4, and verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching, but after their own lusts, their desire to see something else, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Ooh, that sounds interesting. That sounds really neat. So we go after it. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. All right. James 1, verses 14 and 15. Here we'll see how false teaching can also be equated to other interests that we might end up having out there in the world. James 1 and verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth what? Brings forth sin, iniquity, the thing that pulled Israel out and scattered it. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. We get separated from the flock. We as a flock go astray ourselves. We open ourselves up to the predators who can come after us. Just as Eve did in Genesis 3:6. Her curiosity got the best of her. She saw that fruit and she said, that looks really interesting. And then she started to think about it. And then she got drawn to it. And then she took it. And then she tried it. Or David in 2 Samuel 11. He's up on his roof and he's looking out and he's like, that's an interesting looking woman over there. And he starts to look. And then he gets pulled away into the lust. And before you know it, he's pulled into sin. His curiosity got the best of him and pulled him away from God and pulled him away from the flock. Or Genesis 19, Lot's wife. Again, lots of sound behind him, lots of sound behind Lot's wife, lots of explosions and stuff like that. Sounds really interesting. Got to turn my back. I'm really curious to know that. And of course, she was turned into a pillar of salt. Curiosity got the best of her. All right, we have fear. We have curiosity. Third reason that sheep can become lost. Third way that sheep can go astray. Physical needs. Physical needs. Food and nourishment. You know, obviously a sheep needs to eat. And when grass is not plentiful, a sheep that finds something to eat may be pulled aside to grab a meal. Ooh, there's a little patch of grass. I'm going to grab it. Meanwhile, there's not enough food around for the rest of the sheep. They move on, and this sheep is left behind. And the rest of the flock has gone on without it. Let's go to Isaiah 53 and verse 6. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, we'll read about some that are left behind. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 talks about all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. This is talking about ancient Israel again. They have these nourishment needs, these physical needs. They're looking out for themselves. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's talking about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, of course, there, that it redeems us and brings us back into the flock. But why did that flock go astray? Why did the sheep in that flock go astray? Because fear and curiosity and physical sustenance, needs for physical sustenance. They're looking to themselves and to the grass along the side rather than looking to their shepherd and to God. We need rather to be like Agar in Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30, verses 8 through 9. We don't want to have too much. We don't want to have too little. It's a wise prayer that Agar asked about there. Remove me from vanity, says, and lies, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient, rightful for me, lest I be full, I have too much, and I deny you, and say, who's God? Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal. There's a piece of grass over there, and I really need it. And take the name of God in vain. All right. Esau, of course, in Genesis 25, is a great example of one who was pulled astray by an immediate need. Really hungry, got to have a bowl of soup or of pottage, and I'll give up the stuff that's right in front of me, that's way out, that I can't see clearly at the time, because my surroundings are more important. My hunger needs to be satisfied now. I need to have a physical need fulfilled, whether it be a job or companionship or even literal food. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew 6, we'll look at verses 25 and 26. Jesus Christ gives us a warning. He tells us that we shouldn't worry about that physical sustenance so much. Matthew 6, verses 25 and 26. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what? What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Don't worry about those physical needs so much. Is not life, the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? You know, we have a shepherd. He's going to take care of us. We don't have to worry about the grass along the side. We can't let that distract us from what's out in front of us. All right, we've talked about fear. We've talked about curiosity. We've talked about physical needs. Fourth way that sheep can go astray: following a bad leader. Following a bad leader, or following the flock. The flock itself sometimes can go astray. As I said, sheep are flock animals. They're social animals, and so are we humans. And we will often go with the crowd. And sometimes a leader or two among the sheep will lead the rest of the sheep astray. Or sometimes they even have a bad shepherd. Humans, too, can be drawn to a charismatic personality and follow that person into destruction. Let's go to Mark 6, Mark 6 and verse 34. Jesus Christ had a lot of compassion for Israel, which had gone astray. Notice here what he said, why he said they went astray, and why he had so much compassion for them. Mark 6 and verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So they had lacked a shepherd. They'd had false shepherds. They'd pulled them out and they'd scattered them. And Jesus Christ had to come and gather them together. Israel's shepherds had caused them to go astray. Let's go back to Jeremiah 50, Jeremiah 50 and verse 6. Here we will see what the shepherds of Israel had done with the flock with which they'd been charged. Jeremiah 50 and verse 6, my people has been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill, and they have forgotten their resting place. So Israel's shepherds led the sheep astray. False teachers led them astray. And we could read about that elsewhere in Jeremiah. We won't read about it right now, but if you wanted to read chapters 23 and 42, 43, 46, we would read about how Jeremiah warned Israel, don't go into Egypt. He warned Judah. You know, Babylon's coming. Stay here. God wants you here. And yet there were some shepherds who said, I don't want to think that. I don't believe it. Let's go down to Egypt. Despite all the warnings that God had given them through Jeremiah, they didn't listen. They listened to these other shepherds, and they were scattered and also brought upon themselves punishment that otherwise would not have come to them. Let's go to Matthew 7, verse 15. We'll read here about some other false shepherds that we can have even in our day. Matthew 7 and verse 15, Jesus Christ tells us to beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, and inwardly they are ravening wolves. All right, so false prophets are compared here to wolves in sheep clothing. They pretend to be part of the flock, but they are really looking to take advantage of that flock. Let's go to Acts 20, Acts 20, and we'll look at verses 28 through 31. We'll read an example of that, something that Paul also warned us about, warned the Ephesian church about. And this is verses 28 through 31 of Acts 20. Paul was very distraught about this, but he knew what was going to happen. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock." He's speaking to the elders of the church here in Ephesus. "Over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, you're shepherds of a sort, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing, after I leave this area, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So some are going to come in from outside and pick off some of those sheep. "Also of your own selves shall men arise." So some of the sheep are going to rise up on their own, "speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them." They'll pick off a few sheep and pull them off and lead them astray. And if we were to read in 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2, we would read Peter making a similar warning, giving a similar warning about heresy leading some astray. And then in Jude 4, we would read about those who had actually gone astray, fulfilling what Peter had prophesied. All right, so we have four reasons that sheep go astray, four ways in which the way that sheep see can affect them such that they can become lost. We heard about fear. We heard about curiosity. We heard about physical needs. And we heard about bad leadership. How then can we as sheep avoid going astray? How can we avoid becoming lost? All these failures, as I noted, have to do with our inability to see clearly, our lack of vision, a tendency to see all the things around us in that 320-degree view instead of what's straight in front of us. Vision is key. We have to see not as sheep see. They look around, and even to a certain extent backwards, but they fail to see that future, that long-term future. And as such, they live in fear. They get distracted by curiosities or by their daily needs for physical sustenance. Or they may let a bad leader pull them away from the right and safe path. I said earlier that we are told not to flee, but we don't really have the tools of our own to fight, just like the sheep don't, and yet we're told not to. How do we defend ourselves? And we're told, you know, not to let our physical needs overrule us. But how do we feed ourselves? How do we stay from becoming hungry? Well, the answer to both is that we don't. We can't. Let's go to Luke 6 and verse 21. Luke 6 and verse 21. We'll read one of the Beatitudes here, but really all of the Beatitudes rest in the same kind of lesson. It says here in Luke 6 and verse 21, "Blessed are you that hunger now." I really want that patch of grass. "For you shall be filled." Look out in the future. Look out in that far distance rather than to your side. That's what the Beatitudes teach us. The point of the Beatitudes is that our needs will be filled if we wait, if we just wait, if we look to that future, to that long term, if we see beyond our peripheral vision to which we humans are limited, the things around us. But what do we look to? Let's go to Hebrews 12, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. This comes right after the faith chapter. We have all these witnesses, all these people who have done this great stuff before us. And we're told, in response, to do what? Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," what are we going to do? "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us." That sin that can come about when we're looking at that peripheral stuff, that stuff that's all around us. "Let us run with patience the race that is set" where? "Before us, in front of us." Looking where? To Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus set us an example. Jesus is also our shepherd. And a shepherd does what? A shepherd leads the sheep. The sheep can't see out here. The shepherd, however, can see out in that front future. We follow that shepherd, we're going to be in good shape. Let's go to John 10. We'll read about our shepherd, Jesus Christ. And we'll notice something about what Jesus Christ says about his shepherding. John 10, verses 2. And, well, that's where we'll start. Verse 2, and he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He's talking about himself. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, goes in front of them, and the sheep follow him, for they know what? They know his voice. All right. Sometimes we can't see, but we can hear. We can hear. Sheep can hear. So they hear their shepherd. They go where the shepherd, where the shepherd's voice is. A stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. We'll drop down to verse 7. I am the door of the sheep, Jesus tells us. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. We need to be listening to our shepherd. I am the door. By me, if any man enters, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. But I, Jesus Christ, am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of them. All right. So we listen to our shepherd. We listen to his voice. We hear him. We know he's out in front of us. We know where to go. Let's go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, that's where we'll end here. We'll read about that shepherd. And we'll read about how that shepherd can help us with those things that we are prone to because of our sheep eyes. We'll see how that shepherd makes up for those sheep eyes. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. I shall not want. Oh, there's a nice green pass, nice little patch of greenery there, but I don't want. I don't need it because I've got a shepherd out in front of me, and he's leading me towards something bigger. He's leading me towards those green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. I trust in my shepherd. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice here, I'm not going to fear. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I won't have fear. I'm not going to be pulled away by my curiosities. I'm not going to be worrying about my daily needs. And I'm not going to have a different shepherd pull me away from the real shepherd, the one who has my needs in mind. I will not go astray.